Okay, now we really are in heavenly places. Page 93. And the title is A Chain of Earnest Praying Believers. And it's for today, March 27. Starts off with 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You're going to get yours, Alex, one of these days. All right, and then going on, it says, among God's people, there should be at this time frequent seasons of sincere, earnest prayer. And especially today. How about it with everything that's going on out there? And yes, as we expected, things are going to start speeding up. And like I said a moment ago, with that senator declaring there should be Sunday laws to make it mandatory for people to go to church every, and she said Sunday instead of Sunday, but that's how they speak in some areas. That's not, you know, no big deal. But the thing is, it's the talking points are out there. And we know, like I was saying a minute ago, that this is not what's going to get Sunday laws passed, because she was saying we should have Sunday laws passed and make it mandatory to go to church on Sundays because the country is going to, in no uncertain terms, to hell in a handbasket because everybody's immoral. The morality of our country is insane. Well, that's all their fault. It's the leaders that are doing it. They're sanctioning this, sanctioning that. I mean, for example, homosexual marriage. The overwhelming popular vote is they don't want it. But all the corporations, the large corporations, and all the politicians do. Why? Well, what is it, about 10 years ago, they had that meeting in the Vatican, all the CEOs and all the politicians. And they had that meeting in regards to buying and selling. And Rome is home to the largest known organized group of homosexual men and homosexual pedophiles. The Vatican is 98% homosexual. That was already released, I think, a year and a half ago. And so they need those things. And so they're going to get it the way they want it, no matter what the people want, because they got the money. It's that 1% that they were, you know, everybody always likes to talk about, right? So going out, she says. And that's why I mentioned about we need earnest prayer, because they're not going to push Sunday laws for prevent immorality, because that's what they want. They're going to push the Sunday laws because of the calamities that are going to increase off the charts now. I mean, the talking points have started. Now watch what happens. So she goes on. The mind should constantly be in a prayerful attitude. And by the way, having it like that, your mind in a prayerful attitude at all times, it slows the repetition of four-letter words, insulting words, presumption, assumption, prejudgment, all sorts of things. If you stay as close to Christ as you possibly can on a regular basis, day in and day out, hour in, hour out, oh, it's just a peaceful life gets so much better, I got to tell you. You know, and you're still going to get the hassles. You're still going to get people getting all up in your face. It's still going to be there. But like Jesus promised, you're going to have that peace, that heavenly peace. That's why when they expect a frown or an angry tone or a swear word or flying fists, and you give them a smile, boy, that's going to cut some hearts. It's going to get some people. And yeah, she's a U.S. senator from Arizona. So going on. In regards to that Sunday law, Senator, for those of you that are listening to this later on, and today's date is March 27, 2015. We've got thousands of articles on the Sabbath Attack page in regards to it coming to that point where they are eventually going to do this. Now they're doing it. Now I want to see how the scoffers react. So again, she goes on. In the home and in the church, let earnest prayers be offered in behalf of those who have given themselves to the preaching of the word. Let believers pray as did the disciples after the ascension of Christ. A chain of earnest praying believers should encircle the world. Let all pray in humility. A few neighbors may meet together to pray for the Holy Spirit. Let those who cannot leave home gather in their children and unite in learning to pray together. They may claim the promise of the Savior. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. There is nothing more needed in the work than the practical results of communion with God. We should hold convocations for prayer, asking the Lord to open the way for the truth to enter the strongholds where Satan has set up his throne, and dispel the shadow he has cast athwart the pathway of those whom he is seeking to deceive and destroy. And there's a lot of them out there that we know of. There's many that have left our church family over the, you know, since we actually started doing this online in 2004. Well, actually, with our own servers in 2004. Before that, we did it for whenever the internet started. We were the first ones to figure out how to do it. And praise God. And it was... it was just never-ending attacks. I mean, because we were using public servers and we were using free software, you know, like PalTalk or FireTalk. And both are, well, FireTalk's gone. They went belly up, and PalTalk, of course, caused them to go belly up. And PalTalk, if you like getting hacked, go to PalTalk. Seriously, if you want to get hacked, or if you want to be tempted with, they have a lot of webcams. Let's just put it that way. And there's adult areas. And it is one of the worst places on the internet, is PalTalk. So, anyway, as I was saying, we should constantly, and I do this, and I'm sure some of you do this as well, because names come, you know, pop up in your mind as you're praying, and there have been many that have left our number that I know for a fact have zeal and fruits that are necessary to glorify the Lord. But since they have left our number, for whatever reason, usually because the flesh gets to them and they drift away. And that's always the case. The devil usually goes for the flesh. So it's like it's no news here. please keep them in your prayers, because stuff like what's happening now in politics and in the world, and no, we don't preach or teach politics, we expose it for what it is. You know, you have to. This is today's world. It's all over the news. Like if you have a TV, which I don't think it's wise, you can get plenty of news from the internet. But that way you can pick and choose. With TV, you don't know what they're going to put on the next commercial, and your kids are going to be watching it. I mean, they sell candy bars using sex nowadays, and so it's dangerous. Just get those TVs out of the house. We did it years ago, but anyway, even before it was popular to do it. We were Sunday keepers when we did it, in fact. Anyway, the thing is, we got to keep those people in prayer, because they could be used by the Lord in a mighty way. And with what's going on out there right now, I'm almost certain that, and I'm hoping at least half. I doubt all of them are going to come back, okay, because we understand the prophecy of the shaking. I'm hoping half come back, you know, at least, especially those ones that... had open zeal, bold zeal, had no fear whatsoever to speak the oracles of God. And so, like she's saying here, you know, keep praying for them. And we should hold convocations for prayer. Anyway, she says, we have the assurance, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. And no, you're not righteous, I'm not righteous, but Christ is. And when our Father looks at us, he sees his Son, if you're walking as you should. And so, again, the prayers, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So in the Lord's Prayer, she says, we have an example of a perfect petition. In the Lord's Prayer, that, you know, being John 17. How simple, yet how comprehensive it is. This prayer should be taught to the children. Let all study carefully the principles contained in it. In response to the prayers of God's people, angels are sent with heavenly blessings. Through daily prayer and consecration, all may so relate themselves to their Heavenly Father that he can bestow upon them rich blessings. You know, when you think about that, especially when, like if you're a babe in Christ, how would you ever get to... Because this is what always confused me with people that backslide and turn away from it. How? When you've seen... Like it says in Hebrews 6, how is it when you have tasted of the heavenly gift... And been partakers of the Holy Ghost, how can you turn your back on that? But some do, which also confirms that once under grace, always under grace is a bold-faced lie. There's actually 30, 40, or even 50 verses. There's dozens, I know that, because I researched them and shared them on the street. But there's a lot of verses that say that once saved, always saved, or once under grace, always under grace, is a lie of the devil. It gets the people to think that, hey, I'm okay, everything's cool now. It's just like with infant baptism. Catholics, they seem to think that, well, you know, I was baptized. I got, you know, I've done my part. Oh, really? Oh, that's good to hear. When were you baptized? Well, I don't remember it. I was an infant, Well, then you weren't baptized. A baby cannot make professions of faith, nor can they repent. Because first of all, they haven't even committed any sin yet. They've been born in the sinful nature, but they don't have original sin on them as the Vatican teaches. So, going on, and finishing it up, she says, oh, how differently many would act were God to draw aside the veil that hides him from our eyes and reveal himself seated on his throne in the high and lofty place, not in silent grandeur, but surrounded with ten thousands times ten thousands and thousands of thousands of holy, happy beings waiting to do his bidding. I mean, just look at the blessings alone. And that's why I did that page. Well, actually, we were hoping for like a school of the prophets kind of a thing here, and the Lord revealed later that we're already doing it. And so it didn't work out here in the house. But while we did try to do it here with the students, we actually had them create a study that shows every single promise that is found in the New Testament. And then I would have had them done the Old Testament too if the Lord had not already decided that, no, we're doing this differently from this day forward. And so they, those promises right there, that's enough to be able to see himself seated on his high and lofty or high and holy throne, if only in your heart, because of the fact that, that's why I say, like, when you're a babe in Christ and you have tasted of the heavenly gift and been partakers of the Holy Ghost and you see all these promises in his word and the blessings that all, and I know, it's just like that young man I was talking to years ago, and I says, man, you've got so many overwhelming, rock-hard evidences that the Lord is doing everything he can to reach you. I mean, people were pulling over to help this guy. I kid you not. He breaks down on the side of the highway. A guy handed him a brand new battery once. And one time they actually towed him and paid for the tow to get his car. And still, after about 2 or 3 years, he decided to go back to his sinful ways. The Lord tried. When you think of that, you're like, with that 1,000 years that we're going to be doing the work of judgment in reading those books, I wonder who's going to have to deal with reading his book. Or the guy that's sitting on the side of Skid Row for 44 years, who heard a preacher 3 times a day, because the only way that he can get a free meal was to hear a preacher. I mean, you do the math. It's thousands and thousands and thousands of times that somebody tried to reach him, and still he dies in a gutter, drunk as a skunk, wherein 1 Corinthians 6:10 says you're not going to go to heaven. No drunkards are allowed there. So, yeah, the Lord's really going to be vindicated after going through those books. He literally did try all that he could. And this man had rock-hard evidence right there in front of his face. And he acknowledged it, too. But then after the course of 2 or 3 years, you know what it means about the rocky soil and stuff like that. Couldn't take it. He just couldn't take it. Anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.